Welcome back to the We're Going on a Trip podcast. This is your host, Marisol. I am so excited to be back. I know I have some explaining to do, and I know it's been a few months since I uploaded my last episode, so I wanted to make this episode as a recap for this past year and just tell you where I've been, what I've been up to, and how I was able to travel as much as I did this past year. During this episode, I'll recap where I traveled to, whether it was a solo trip or not, and my favorite memory and activity I did for each destination. I'll finish this episode by sharing what I learned about myself and why this year, in a few months, was such a transformational time for me. It really all started in an apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan during the summer of 2021. I was working remotely out of New York with a friend for about a month, and on the last week of that trip, I actually told my manager that I was leaving the company. So I left my job. I had really been working remotely since the very beginning of the pandemic, so I was just feeling so completely burnt out and had decided that I really needed a break to figure out exactly what it was that I wanted in my career. So I had already known for a long time that I wanted to make a career transition. So I left my job with a healthy savings account and decided that I was going to travel and take some time to just start feeling like myself again, really, and just strategize what I wanted and what direction I wanted to take my career in. So actually, before we actually get into this, I want to preface this episode by acknowledging how fortunate and privileged I was at the time to be able to leave my job without another job lined up or really a backup plan. So leaving my job when I did will never be something I regret. I know it was so necessary for me to just take a deep breath, rest, and get back to feeling like myself again. And I am so grateful that I had the opportunity to experience what I did over this past year. And it honestly still feels like a dream. So after spending that month in New York City and visiting Washington, D.C. for about a week, I returned back home to the Bay Area. When I had left my job, I knew that I wanted to spend a few months traveling. So with my birthday coming up in a few weeks, I decided to book a trip. And with no job and a whole world to explore, I knew I wanted to spend this very special birthday somewhere I had always dreamed about. So I grabbed my computer, I opened up Google Flights, and I bought a round trip to Paris, France. And this trip was totally solo, and it was exactly what I needed. I spent my days walking up and down those cobblestone streets and just eating delicious food and navigating the metro through all the different neighborhoods. It truly was such an iconic place, and I honestly couldn't believe I was there. And during the trip, I actually met up with an old college friend who had moved there recently. So Sam, if you're listening, thank you for showing me around and spending time with me. One of my favorite memories on this trip was when I booked an Airbnb experience where I did a group night bike tour on the day of my birthday. So after a nice dinner, I showed up to our meeting point and got to meet the two other couples who were also part of the experience. We picked up our e-bikes and just zoomed all around the city and took in all of the sights at night. And I had seen most of these places during the day, but at night it was just insane. It was beautiful. So after about 2 hours of exploring by bike and getting a tour of the city, our last stop was the Eiffel Tower. And our guide had honestly timed it perfectly because just as we had parked our bikes, the Eiffel Tower started doing, you know, the sparkling, started twinkling. And I just remember standing there with the helmet in one hand and my bike in the other, just feeling so grateful to be there and to experience that moment. And after that week in Paris, I returned back home to the Bay Area for one day before taking a flight to Mexico City for a month-long solo trip. And if you listen to my first episode, you would know that my first ever solo trip was actually in Mexico City. So obviously it holds a very special place in my heart. And with Día de los Muertos or Day of the Dead approaching, I had always wanted to spend it in Mexico City. And I just wanted to see all the different events and celebrations. So I was so excited. I just remember walking down El Paso de la Reforma lined with these bright orange cempasúchil flowers. And it really was such a beautiful trip. I really enjoyed my time there. And there are so many incredible experiences and memories that I made during that trip. But one of the ones that really stands out is another Airbnb experience, actually, where I spent a full day touring and exploring some 200 to 300 year old haciendas, and I went horseback riding throughout the countryside. After spending that month in Mexico City, I spent about a week in Oaxaca de Juarez, and the city was still covered in papel picado and Día de los Muertos decorations, and it truly was so stunning. My favorite memory there was actually another Airbnb experience where they shuttled us to a small town about an hour out of the city where we had a mezcal tasting and a cooking class, and we learned how to make tlayudas, the base of mole and salsas. And after finishing up the cooking portion, we were served multiple courses with the food prepared by our hosts and the food that we had worked to prep. And after our meal, we enjoyed this amazing dessert that they brought out for us, and we looked out onto a beautiful sunset. The hosts were so welcoming and kind. I would highly recommend that Airbnb experience to anyone who's traveling to Oaxaca de Juarez. I'll try to find the link and I'll leave it down below in the show notes. After Oaxaca, I returned back home to the Bay Area mid-November. I spent a few weeks home before a spontaneous trip to Puerto Rico with my cousin Annie. So Annie texted me one morning and told me about a really great deal on a round-trip flight to San Juan, and so we booked it for that first week of December. We spent most of our time exploring Old San Juan, and the streets were just full of lights and Christmas decorations. I really enjoyed eating all the arroz mamposteado, watching the locals dancing in the street to live music, and just how lively and festive it felt for the holidays. One of my favorite memories on this trip was on my second to last day. So after spending the whole day slipping and sliding through El Yunque, the rainforest, just outside of our Airbnb, I stepped into a pothole and sprained my ankle. So long story short, my ankle was very sprained and it was swelling fast. We were staying on the top floor of an older building with no elevator. So with the freshly sprained ankle, I hobbled up 5 flights of stairs to then sit on the couch and ice and elevate my ankle. And my cousin, Annie, really truly was an angel. She let me lean on her as I hobbled throughout our little Airbnb. And the next day for our last night, we were actually staying at a hotel. So the hotel saw me struggling on those crutches I bought, and they let me borrow a wheelchair. So with the fresh set of wheels and our last day to enjoy together, Annie and I hit the streets. We took an Uber to Castillo San Felipe del Morro, and I just remember us having a blast and just laughing as she helped me navigate my wheelchair through all these cobblestone streets. So we spent the whole day just laughing, having so much fun. So shout out to you, Annie, for pulling those nasty lunges up El Morro and asking for a big bag of ice for me everywhere we went. After closing out the year in Puerto Rico, I took a few months to think about my next adventure. And so when trying to get some inspiration, I was watching travel YouTube videos, and I was recommended a video of a guy who had completed a cross-country train ride. So I had actually heard about the California Zephyr previously, but the video of the guy who did it, he was doing it cross-country. So I love a challenge, and I thought, what better time to do it? So I bought a one-way flight to New York City, and I was there for about 2 nights with a friend. So Grace, if you're listening, thank you. And after those 2 days, I then took the subway to Penn Station and got on my train heading to Chicago. So after we traveled overnight, the train arrived in Chicago the next morning. And from there, I had about 2 hours to myself to just walk a portion of the Riverwalk, say hi to the Bean, and walk back to a local restaurant to enjoy a nice sit-down lunch before returning to Union Station for the journey of a lifetime, really. It was 80 hours, 11 states, and 3,000 miles. And if you're curious and you want to hear more about my journey on the California Zephyr and my tips for preparing and packing and what to expect on this trip, I recorded a designated podcast episode. So about 2 weeks after the cross-country adventure, I had a three-week trip exploring Mexico and Guatemala with my sister. And this trip was super special because my sister would be moving to Portland in a few weeks to start nursing school. So I was really excited for it. And we've also traveled a lot together and we have a lot of fun. So I just knew that it was going to be a great trip. So our trip spanned the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. So we explored Mérida, Valladolid, and then we spent about a week in, well, actually not a week. It was a few days in Isla Holbosch, which was incredible and beautiful. And my favorite memory in the Yucatan Peninsula was probably just, we had a full day of swimming in different cenotes and just eating so much street food and just enjoying every second of it. So that was so much fun. And from Mexico, we flew to Guatemala and had the opportunity to explore both Antigua and Lake Atitlan. And it was both of our first times in Guatemala, and we absolutely loved it. I will absolutely be going back to Guatemala. Specifically, Antigua was just so special. And I'd say my favorite memory from our trip in Guatemala was when we spontaneously decided that we were going to hike up Volcán Acatenango and stay there overnight. And that hike was truly, and honestly, it's one of the hardest hikes I've ever done. So you're basically hiking up a steady incline, and there's about over 5,000 feet of elevation with loose gravel and high altitude, and you're also carrying about 25 to 30 pounds of gear on your back. So it was very challenging for me. But the view and the accomplishment that I felt when I reached our camp was like no other. I was the last one to make it up to camp by hours, and the guides were so kind and patient as I slowly continued to climb up that volcano. And we just talked and laughed, and through the blood, sweat, and tears it took to climb that steep trail with the clouds below us, and the sunset was just insane, and all the eruptions at dusk made it well worth it. After spending an incredible time in Guatemala, I returned back home to the Bay Area for a few weeks before taking on one of the biggest trips that I've done thus far, what I would later coin my European tour. So this trip was also really special because I got to spend 5 weeks exploring five different countries with my best friend, Shabani Bhagat. We spent hours and hours on FaceTime talking to just plan this trip, but we really got to work and we started collaborating on what cities we would be visiting and what flights, buses, rides, trains, car rides were necessary to make the trip a reality. So we decided to visit Portugal, Spain, the Netherlands, Croatia, and Greece. So Shabani's based in Southern California and I'm in Northern California, and we took two separate flights and we met in Lisbon on May 2nd. We spent most of our time exploring Lisbon, and then we had a day trip to Sintra, and I will absolutely be returning to Portugal to visit Porto and Southern Portugal. And actually, my favorite memory in Portugal was when we visited Peña National Palace. It's a short train ride from Lisbon Center, and it's this beautiful castle at the top of a hill in the Sintra Mountains, and it truly was a sight to see. It was surrounded by lush green trees with the beautiful view of the Portuguese Riviera, and so this whole day was perfection. After Portugal, we flew to Malaga, a city situated in southern Spain's Costa del Sol. So while in Malaga, we ate delicious fresh fish, drank chilled white wine, and just enjoyed the scorching sun on rocky beaches and during our hike through El Caminito del Rey. And after Malaga, we took a BlaBlaCar to Sevilla for 13 euros each. After realizing that our options for a bus or a train would arrive way later in the day, we just decided that sitting in the backseat of a random guy's car as he drove us two other Spain natives and his fluffy dog, Nala, to Sevilla would be a good idea. And we ended up actually having so much fun on that car ride. We arrived safely and sound to our, honestly, one of my favorite cities on our European tour. Sevilla was truly a scorchingly hot dream. Sun blazing and my tan definitely developing, we wandered through the cobblestone streets of this historic city. And I honestly don't know where to start with trying to describe what a great time we had exploring Sevilla. It had seriously been hyped by so many of my friends who had visited, and now I completely understand why it is so popular. It's hard to pick one of my favorite memories in Sevilla, but if I had to choose, I'd say the tour of the Royal Alcázar de Sevilla was definitely worth the visit. And so after we flew to Barcelona and we only spent one day there because it was just a better way to get to our next country because it's a big city. And our next country was the Netherlands. So after that much needed chill day in Barcelona, we woke up early the next day to head to the airport for our flight to Amsterdam. It was my first time in the Netherlands, and let me just say the street style, the people watching, the food, the canals, I loved it all. And during our time in Amsterdam, we were able to visit the Tulip. You know, the name, I honestly don't want to butcher it. It starts with the K, Keukenhof Gardens, I think, for the very end of the Tulip Festival. And walking through all those different gardens that were just like beautifully designed with different tulip variations was definitely a highlight. And it was kind of a little ways away from central Amsterdam, but the train and the bus ride were just so scenic. I highly recommend it if you find yourself in the Netherlands during the springtime. And after Amsterdam, we spent a few days in Rotterdam, and it was also a beautiful city with lots of parks and just great food. So we enjoyed a relaxing few days of just being present and soaking in the end of our time there. After Rotterdam, we took a flight to our next country, which was Croatia, and it was also my first time in Croatia, and I am just so happy that we decided to put it on our list because it honestly is absolutely gorgeous. It's just so many stunning national parks and really just friendly people. I made some of my favorite memories in Croatia. Our first city was the capital of Split. So Split, and Shivani and I had planned to rent a car and pick it up at the airport to then arrive to our hotel located in the city kind of closest to Krka National Park. So Krka National Park is known for its majestic waterfalls. We decided to rent bikes the day of, and we biked through the park in search of these majestic waterfalls. So it was gorgeous. And to this day, that bike ride through Krka National Park is still one of my favorites. After spending one night near the park, we packed our bags early that next day and drove the rental car down to Dubrovnik. And the ride to Dubrovnik was so scenic and was just the lush green mountains just lining the highway. So after a long day on the road, we decided to relax and sleep in early in order to recharge for the upcoming busy days of exploring Dubrovnik. Situated on the coast of the Adriatic Sea, Dubrovnik is pretty small. It's a relatively small city with lots of history. And the center is surrounded by these massive stone walls that were built in the 1500s. We had so much fun in Dubrovnik, but one of my favorite memories was actually when we were kayaking outside along the outside of the walls, and the castle and just the city walls looked that much more. Like, it was from this tiny kayak looking out on to the city. It was just insane. So after spending a few days in Dubrovnik, we took a bus back up to Split, and we had a fun few days there. So we were swimming through those turquoise blue waters and exploring Central Split. And my favorite memory was when we spontaneously decided to book yet another Airbnb experience and we went whitewater rafting down the Satina River. We rafted down some class 2 and class 3 rapids and just climbed, swam through some caves and just enjoyed a beautiful afternoon in nature. And Croatia truly was just so beautiful. Next on our list was Greece, and we landed in Athens and soon began our island hopping adventure. The first island we visited was Paros, and we stayed with the loveliest host, Miriam. We booked our stay in one of her lovely apartments through booking.com, and I'll try and find it and leave it down in the show notes. If you're planning to visit Paros and you would like an idea of where to stay, I highly recommend it. After Paros was Naxos, and we boarded that giant ferry, and it took about, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was like an hour, hour and a half. And Naxos was also just a lovely island. One of the prettiest sunsets I've ever seen was at the top of that hill by the Temple of Apollo. After Naxos, we ended our European tour together in Santorini. And Santorini was a beautiful island, and it's definitely one of the more popular Greek islands. Santorini, and specifically the neighborhood of Oia, was super busy with tourists. If I had to pick my favorite of the islands we visited, Naxos was definitely my favorite. And from Santorini, I took a flight to Frankfurt, Germany, and after 24 hours, I was on my flight, a direct flight actually, back home to the Bay Area. A few weeks after that trip, I spent a long weekend in Palm Springs for my friend Jackie's bachelorette party. And a few weeks after that, I was playing tour guide and took my mom on a week-long trip to Mexico City. So the summer was quickly coming to an end, and almost a year of time off from working, I felt that it was time to return to a routine and start planning on how I was going to make a career change. So I bet I actually spent about 3 to 4 months actively applying for jobs I had no direct experience in. I had known that making a career change would be difficult, but I also knew that I had all of the necessary and transferable skills to make the switch. So during those times that I was actively job searching, so many large companies were doing multiple rounds of layoffs. And the job market was definitely getting more tough, but I kept submitting my applications and cold messaging directors of talent and recruiters at companies I really wanted to work for through LinkedIn. And after about 2 months of serious job searching and feeling like I was going to land something soon, I decided to treat myself to a trip for my birthday. Also knowing that when I did get a new job, I wouldn't be able to travel for a bit. So I figured now would be a good time. To be honest, I really wanted to end the year with a bang. So I decided, why not? So during the time, news was coming that Japan would maybe reopen their borders to international travelers again. And when it was confirmed, without hesitation, I knew I had to visit. Japan has always been at the top of my list, and I took it as a sign from the universe, and I took a look at tickets. And just as I was about to book my flight, I texted Shabani and I told her that I was going to Japan. And Shabani called me within the minute, and she said she wanted to join me as well. So we quickly got to work and we started looking at the different places we wanted to visit together. I truly was on cloud 9 planning for Japan. I landed on October 11th, the same day that Japan reopened. And I spent the night in Tokyo and then took the Shinkansen bullet train down to Kyoto, where I spent a few days. And during my time in Kyoto, I got to meet with an old coworker who had been working remotely in South Korea. So Eric, if you're listening, I had so much fun exploring with you. Eric also takes great photos, and some of my best pictures were taken by him. So thanks, Eric. After exploring Kyoto and Osaka, I took the Shinkansen back to Tokyo and then got on another bullet train to go to Ueda, Nagano. And Shabani and I were supposed to meet in Bisho Onsen, which is a small hot springs resort town outside of Ueda. During our time there, we explored the small towns, local markets, and enjoyed the hot springs while staying in a traditional ryokan. And I honestly can't even begin to explain how wonderful that small town on the countryside was. It still feels like a dream that I was there. It was unlike anything or anywhere that I've experienced. After spending a few days relaxing in those famous onsens, Shibani and I took the train back to Tokyo, where we spent the next few days and where we would be celebrating my birthday. Tokyo, of course, was incredible and also such a surreal place. There are so many incredible memories I made in Japan, but one of my favorites was when Shibani surprised me with a cooking class for my birthday. We visited a local's home where they taught us how to make sushi and tamaki. With tears in our eyes from the incredible time that we spent in Japan, we parted ways and both boarded our respective flights back home. After returning back from Japan, a few weeks had passed, and I accepted an offer for the most senior role of jobs I had applied to. I really enjoyed getting to meet the team, and I would be just, the manager was so cool, so I figured this would be a great opportunity. And also, the best part is the role is fully remote, which means that I can virtually, you know, travel and maybe work wherever I have Wi-Fi, meaning I have lots of future travel planned that I'm really excited to document and share with you. And I'm still unpacking and digesting this past year because I feel like so much happened. And I am so, so grateful that I was able to experience everything that I did. Through all the ups and downs and the roller coaster that was job searching, I am so proud of myself for being brave and stepping out of my comfort zone and doing things I was once afraid of. And I'd be lying if I said I don't get nervous before a flight. It's true, especially when visiting a country where I don't speak the language or I'm not super familiar with the cultural customs. Although I do recognize that knowing English is a huge advantage because English is often printed on most signs and also spoken widely, especially in more touristy areas. So starting off the year with this cross-country train ride to end it on a cross-country train ride through Japan was a full circle moment for me. I am so grateful and constantly tell myself how lucky I am to have been able to experience everything that this past year brought me. And thank you if you made it to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening and for being interested in what I have to share. Thank you for sticking around. I know that this year will be full of lots of adventure and some incredible trips. And I've been teasing a potential big South American tour. And I'm documenting everything over on Instagram and will soon be posting on TikTok. So I'll be sharing my planning journey, which countries I'll be visiting, which places, and overall just content on the trip will be on the podcast's Instagram and TikTok page. And if you're not already following, I'll link both of those pages down below in the show notes. Both IG and TikTok We're Going on a Trip podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and don't want to miss any of the future episodes I've been working on, go ahead and follow the podcast and follow my socials, share it with your friends, rate the podcast. Thank you. Thank you again for sticking around and being here. Until the next time.